on this episode of Rev Hang.
That's some real, like, F1 My Career stuff right there.
This one was pretty wild. I'll admit that.
Even with recency bias, I think Qatar was the most egregious thing I might have ever seen.
I don't know if I'll be in a whole lot of pain, but...
Cheers.
Yeah. Cheers. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this, the final episode of Season 3 of Rev Hang. We made it to the end. This is the season review episode. I know you guys have all been waiting for it. I have too. I'm very excited for this. I know Ben's excited. Both of us will be drinking hot sauce. This is going to be a good one, so stay tuned till the end for pain.
I don't know if I'll be in a whole lot of pain, but...
Okay.
One of us will be, I'm sure.
Weird flex, Ben, but okay.
I'm sure I'll be in pain. I'm sorry.
I'm sure.
I shouldn't be that cocky.
Just don't get any in your
bad
eyes.
Place earlier this week.
Yeah. We'll talk about that too. But for now, how are you doing, Ben?
Doing pretty good. As I alluded to, I gave it a fair shot to not be here, but I still made it. So that's always fun. Made it off the mountain. And yeah, I'm ready to go over and talk about all the races that I forgot. I honestly forgot about most of the IndyCar races between when we recorded and now. I had to kind of give myself a refresher, aside from a few bright points. So we'll see how good my recollection is.
Yeah, we intentionally did not include a race of the year for IndyCar because it's hard to remember all of them since the last IndyCar race was like 3 or 4 months ago.
Yeah, well, and you know, they're all so good, right?
Oh, all of them are fantastic. There is never a bad IndyCar race.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of IndyCar, we have a ton of predictions and things to go through. So let's dive right in. We'll start with paddock news, though. Two things in F1 since last time we talked. Liam Lawson has been chosen to replace Daniel Ricciardo. He already did that one. Lawson has been chosen to replace Sergio Perez at Red Bull. So Perez is officially out. He is out of F1. He is, I guess, taking a marketing role in Red Bull for the time being and pursuing a drive in World Endurance with
the
Ferrari.
New David Coulthard.
Yeah. David Coulthard, what Danny Ricciardo did a couple years ago, all those things.
Yeah.
But I hope he gets that endurance drive with Ferrari. That would be cool to see him in Le Mans, at least do something during his time off. If he can get a spot back on the grid, I don't really see that happening, but we'll see.
You know, it'd also be super cool.
What?
If Yuki Tsunoda had a shot at the Red Bull seat.
Yeah, that would be cool, but that did not happen. We can talk about that a little later when we do some comparisons. But,
I suspect we will, yeah.
Yes. And the other piece of news, of course, since Lawson moved to Red Bull, there is a vacancy at RB, and Isaac Hadjar from F2 has filled that vacancy. Everyone saw this coming. The guy, I think, came in second in F2 this year. He either won it or came second. I don't remember. But he is very fast. He was faster than Tsunoda in postseason testing in the RB. So he's got the chops. We'll see if he can handle the pressure, which is kind of the big deal when it comes to Red Bull teams. So,
yeah.
All right.
Wish him all the best in that meat grinder.
Of course. Let's move into IndyCar, and we will move to Formula One afterwards. We'll go through the results real quick of the season. Alex Palou won the championship. For those of you who don't remember, followed by Colton Herta, Scott McLaughlin, Will Power, Pato O'Ward, Scott Dixon, Kyle Kirkwood, Joseph Newgarden, Santino Ferrucci, Alex Rossi, 11 through 20, were Lundgaard, Rosenqvist, VK, Armstrong, Ericsson, Lundqvist, Grosjean, Rahal, Fittipaldi, and Stingray Robb. 21 through 30 are Simpson, Rasmussen, Siegel, Malukas, Harvey, Daly, Canapino, Porcher, Catherine Legg, and Tom Blomqvist. 31 through 40 are Sowery, Carpenter, Ayalotte, Giotto, Castroneves, Larson, Sato, Vatier, Vips, and Braun. And 41 through 43, rounding off the entire IndyCar field for this year, We had Mikel Rey, Hunter Rey, and Andretti.
Did you practice like that? That was like flawless.
I did not.
That was super impressive.
Thank you, Ben. I think this is like the third or fourth year in a row that Mario Andretti has been in last place in the championship. So,
yeah, that'll happen when you only do one race,
the Indy 500. Yeah, and yeah, you crash every year.
Yeah,
that's what'll happen. But let's move into our predictions for the season. Ben, we did not do so well on any of our predictions.
Yeah,
as always.
You did 200% better than me.
That's one way to look at it, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So, first field, total different race winners. What did you say, Ben?
I had 6 different race winners.
I had 8. And guess what? There were 7 different race winners this year
in
IndyCar.
Just bracketed it.
We do this every time. Also, I probably will not be flashing the graphics for every single prediction in front of the screen like I usually do on these episodes, because that would take me so many hours of editing, I don't even want to think about it.
It's a lot of graphics, yeah.
I will link to some PDFs in the description of the video, if you're watching on YouTube or Rumble, and if you'd like to follow along, you can do so.
If you're on Spotify, then Nathan will spell out the URL for the link right now.
No. I don't even have the URL for the link right now. So if you're on Spotify, go check us out on YouTube, and you can find all the things there. And also hit subscribe.
Don't you want to see our beautiful faces?
Yeah. Our beautiful faces.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, total DNFs. Both of us got way closer than I thought we would on this one. What did you have for total DNFs in IndyCar this season, Ben?
I had 87.
I had 96, and there were a total of 82 DNFs.
So close.
Yeah, pretty close. After the first 3 races, there were only like 7, and I was like, there is no way we're hitting anywhere close to our numbers.
It was
and
a then pretty the, clean season.
The oval races happened. Yeah.
Yeah, oval races and a few notable street circuits.
Yep. There were a few races that made up the majority of that 82.
Yeah. Hi there, Canada.
Yeah, right. All right. Next up, we have driver with most DNFs. I was not expecting the result on this one. What'd you say, Ben?
I had Grosjean. I thought it was a shoe win.
I had Stingray Robb, which I also thought was a free win. And guess what? It went to Marcus Ericsson, who had one of the worst seasons he's ever had in any sport ever.
Yeah, and just an insane tumble.
Yeah. Pretty nuts. I believe I did not put it on here, but he had, was it 6 or 7? I think 6 DNFs this season. Yes, he had 6 DNFs this year. So not great, but
yeah, not a great way to make an impression on your brand new team for the year.
Yeah, Stingray Robb did have 5, and he was in 2nd place, so I was close, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, driver with most pole positions. What'd you say, Ben?
I had Herta for this one.
I had Newgarden, and it was actually McLaughlin who had 5 pole positions this season.
And, yeah, Penske boys. Is that including the? Well, I guess the problems didn't come from qualifying, did they?
No, the disqualification. I did not include them in the race results, but I did in qualifying. And Newgarden got pole position on that one.
Gotcha.
So
that's impressive. Yeah, Penske boys really came through.
They really did. All right. Most consistent driver. What'd you say,
no.
Ben?
No. I had Kirkwood for this one.
I had Stingray Robb. And guess what? I was right. It was Stingray Robb. The most consistent driver this year.
Consistently 18th. Ha, got him.
Yeah, consistently at the very back of the field. But that's kind of how it works. It's standard deviations based on all of your results. And he had the lowest standard deviation. So he is our most consistent driver, most consistently bad, almost had the most DNFs, and yet he stole Grosjean's seat for next year and is going to be remaining in the sport with Hunkus Hollinger.
Yep.
Great stuff.
Good thing he found a not very controversial team to race for, too.
Yeah, no, there's never drama surrounding that team. At least his teammate, never mind, I'm not gonna go there.
Nope. Can't do it.
Can't do it. All right. Next up, least consistent driver. What'd you say, Ben?
I had Herta for this one.
I had Malukas, and it went to Joseph Newgarden, who also had a horrible season.
Yeah. He and Erickson just had crazy, crazy downturns.
Yeah. Newgarden was all over the place this year, as evidenced by his standard deviation of 10.1 in finishing, which is kind of actually insane. He was either at the front or the back. It was about even on both of those.
Yeah. He won the Indy 500, which I had forgotten about, you know, towards the end of the season, because his performance was just so on and off.
Yeah. Yeah. He did win the Indy 500, but he also got last, like, pretty close to last a lot of the time. So, yeah, unfortunate for him. Least consistent, definitely a season to forget for him. Hopefully he'll be back stronger next year. Of course, I make a video about how great he is right before the season starts, and then he has the worst season ever. So, I guess I need to be careful who I make videos about.
You can make a video about Pelot next.
Yeah, maybe. That's a great idea, Ben. That'd probably get a lot of views, too, right before IndyCar starts.
Yep.
All right. Driver with the most wins, what'd you say, Ben?
I had Newgarden for this one.
I had Pelot, and neither of us were right, shockingly. Even, like, Pelot wasn't right, which there are three drivers who are tied for the most wins at three, and that is McLaughlin, Power, and O'Ward.
It's crazy that Award snuck in there.
Yeah, I don't remember. I remember two of them, I think. I don't remember the third one. But
yeah, I was going to say, I don't really remember him winning, but
yeah,
go off.
For sure. So yeah, Pelot was not on that list. He won twice, I believe, and still won the championship handily.
Yeah.
His consistency, though, if you look at his finishes, was nuts. He was like
consistently almost as good as Stingray Rob.
Like, top five, always. Yeah, almost. He was actually not anywhere near the standard deviation of Stingray Rob, but still had a better season than Stingray Rob, that's for sure.
Yeah.
All right, and then the champion, what'd you say, Ben?
I had Newgarden for this one.
I had Pelot, so I got that one right as well.
Nicely done. Hey, you got two wins in there.
I did. I did get two correct in the least predictable sport, motorsport on Earth. Which, actually, yeah, that's probably not true at all.
No.
Probably F2 would be, but...
I was going to say, like, Touring Honda or something like that.
Yeah, but... yeah, Mazda, Miata Cup.
Yeah, the Miata Cup.
Actually, probably not. I would imagine there's quite a skill gap there, but...
yeah.
I'd say F2 or IndyCar, actually, is probably up there. Or at Formula E, maybe.
Formula E.
Let's not talk about Formula E.
Do you finish yes, no?
All right, that will round off IndyCar for this season. Those are all our predictions. Didn't go too deep into it. Let's move to Formula One and go through the season results. For the drivers, Max Verstappen won the championship quite handily at the end, followed by Lando Norris and Charles Leclerc. Then 4th and 5th were Piastri and Sainz. 6th through 10 were Russell, Hamilton, Perez, Alonso, and Gasly. Gasly finishing P10 after driving a literal dumpster fire of a car for half the season.
That's because they gave him a regular car for the last three races of the season.
You're right. He was actually in the midfield and, yeah, got a podium. So, all right. 11th through 15, we had Hülkenberg, Tsunoda, Stroll, Ocon, and Magnussen. 16th through 20, Albon, Ricciardo, Berriman, Colapinto, and Zhou. And 21 through 24 out of 20 drivers, we had Lawson, Bottas, Sargeant, and Doohan. So, quite the season. We had 24 drivers and 20 seats.
Yep. Yeah, against all odds, Sauber scored points.
They did, yes. Right. I'm very happy.
Right at the edge. Yep.
Yep. All right. And... Constructors. McLaren won the Constructors' Championship by the skin of their teeth. A couple more races, it probably would not have happened. But, yeah, McLaren won, followed by Ferrari and Red Bull. Then 4th and 5th were Mercedes and Aston Martin. 6th through 10 were Alpine, Haas, Racing Bulls, Williams, and Sauber. Racing Bulls, also known as RB. I pulled these from before we even knew what any of the teams were called.
Oh, yeah.
Which is funny because they will actually be called Racing Bulls next season. So that's a little predictive there.
Just to clear it up from Red Bull.
Yeah, right. All right. Let's move into our driver lineup predictions that we did. This is our silly season guesses. I'm really looking forward to this one. We knew it was going to be crazy this year, and it did not disappoint. We got most of the teams completely wrong. So
it started early this year too. We were expecting kind of like a domino effect that would all happen really fast, but it was kind of more drawn out than I expected.
Yeah, for sure.
Mostly because of one man.
Yes. One man. Started the whole thing back in February, and everybody went into a wild frenzy and a panic. So, yeah. All right. Ben, give me who you thought would be driving at Red Bull in 2025.
I had many dollars put on Verstappen and Sainz as the duo at Red Bull.
That made a lot of sense to me. I had Verstappen and Ricciardo, which made more sense to me, and makes more sense to me still now than what is currently the case, which is Verstappen and Lawson. So, yes, after looking at the results after this season, Lawson was not the right choice in my opinion, but I think a lot of people share that opinion. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. All right, Mercedes. Who did you think would be at Mercedes?
This is one of my wilder shots. I had Russell and Albon for this one.
Interesting. I don't think this was actually super far out there at the beginning of this season. Albon, the previous year, had absolutely stomped Sargent. And Williams was not actually horrible last year. They were kind of middle of the midfield.
They were better than they had been since we started watching.
Yeah, they were on the right track, and so I think a lot of people thought Albon was going to start to ascend a little bit. That did not happen. Nope. I had Russell and Alonso. I think that was a little farther out there than Albon.
Okay, yeah, maybe. So now that I look at that.
It was not either of those. It ended up being Russell and Antonelli. Antonelli getting the promotion before he even started. Right into a front-running car. We will see how that plays out. Antonelli, of course, is an F2 rookie, and I think he came in like fourth or fifth this season in F2. So
he's got a great head start in F1. He's already crashed two cars.
Yes, he's already crashed twice in preseason in testing. All right, Ferrari, we did get this right because the news had already broken before we did these. So we both got Leclerc and Hamilton. That is kind of what set all the dominoes in motion, was Hamilton leaving Mercedes and jumping to Ferrari. And then McLaren, both of us also got this right. We both said Norris and Piastri. It wasn't set in stone, I guess. It kind of was, but nothing's
not
official
going anywhere
really until it's official.
And they're definitely not going anywhere now.
Yeah, for sure. No, neither of them are going to leave now. Norris and Piastri will be in 2025. Aston Martin, what did you say, Ben?
I had Stroll and Alonso, just like this year. Like last year, and just as it will always be.
Probably. Yeah, I said Stroll and Drugovich because I had Alonso going to Mercedes, but that did not happen. So, yep, it is Stroll and Alonso as far as we know, unless Stroll decides he's going to throw in the towel, which would be pretty insane. That's the only way he leaves the sport, is if it's his decision. So, we'll see what happens there, but I don't see him leaving unless he's just tired of getting bullied, cyber bullied by literally everybody. All right.
That assumes that he can use the internet.
Okay, Ben. Alpine, what did you say, Ben?
I had Gasly and Ocon. I thought the team would stay the same this year.
I also had Gasly and Ocon. I also thought the team would stay the same, and it is not. It is Gasly and Doohan. Doohan for now. Apparently, he only has a contract for like the first couple of races next year, and they're waiting to see how he does.
No.
I think Colapinto is what's being rumored.
Classic Alpine.
Yeah, right. They're just gonna, dude. The Doohan's been waiting for so many years. So if he gets like three races and then gets shafted for a rookie, like that. I mean, he'd be a rookie too, but you know what I mean.
Still, yeah.
He's been in line, so that would be so heartbreaking. The guy would go to end his career in Formula E, probably.
Yeah.
I hope that doesn't happen for Doohan's sake. But I also like Calapinto. He's really funny and seems like a genuinely good dude, so I kind of hope he finds his way onto the grid, maybe in 26 with a team that's not Alpine. But yeah, we'll have to wait and see how the cards fall there. Williams, what'd you say, Ben?
this one was pretty wild. I'll admit that I had Perez and Sargeant for this one.
Perez and Sargeant. I had Albon and Perez. Both of us had Perez going to Williams.
I don't know what's funnier, that we both had Albon or Perez going to Williams, or that I had Sargeant staying at Williams.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I think at the beginning of the season we had hope that Sargeant might be better this year, but he wasn't. So
yeah,
unfortunate. It is Albon and Sainz at Williams this year. So. No one saw signs going to Williams, I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah, that was the guy who really kind of drew everything out much longer than it could have been.
Yeah, signs was...
We waited for months for that guy to decide where he was going to go.
Yeah, I think he might have choked his opportunity to go to Red Bull away. But anyway.
But you know, Williams is going to be really good next year.
Maybe.
They're not using Excel to manage their inventory, so maybe there's a chance.
There is a chance. Of course, everybody goes to zero, so who knows? Maybe Williams will be the world champions.
Yeah. As somebody who's actually recently designed an inventory management system for his company in Excel, it's not very good.
It's not enough.
not super robust.
All right. RB. What did you say, Ben?
Lawson and Ricardo.
I had Lawson and Iwasa, and Iwasa's completely dropped off the face of the planet now. He's, I think, still in Super Formula in Japan. So it is Tsunoda and Hadjar, so neither of us got either of them correct.
Insane.
Yeah, Tsunoda did not get dropped from the sport, though. I guess that's a positive for him. Yeah. You know, actually, after this year, I'm glad that he didn't get dropped. He did very well this year.
Yeah.
And I think proved a lot of people wrong. So I'm happy for him. And I think he's matured quite a bit since his first season.
Yeah, but he's just not quite as mature as Lawson, which is, you know, something that Red Bull really needs.
Right.
A really strong, mature driver.
Yes,
of like course. Lawson.
Yeah, and Verstappen.
Yeah. Yeah, RIP Ricardo. Never had a chance.
RIP. All right, next up, Sauber, what'd you say?
This is another crazy one for me. I had Schumacher and Bottas for this one. This is my tinfoil hat conspiracy one.
Schumacher comeback was real. I had Sainz and Porcher. I thought Sainz was a lock for the Audi seat, which is what it's going to become in 2026, so I thought he would make the jump now. That made the most sense to me, but that is not what he decided to do. So, yeah, and Porsche has been their reserve driver forever, so I figured that would be where they would go. I thought Bottas would lose his seat, which he ended up losing his seat. But the actual lineup for next season is Hülkenberg and Bortoleto. Bortoleto, another rookie from F2. They're actually reaching into the F2 pool this year for once. They grabbed Hülkenberg, which I think is a great grab for them, especially once they turn into Audi, they'll have a German driver all set up. So good stuff.
Yeah, and they managed to get one of the good German drivers too, so
yeah.
Extra bonus points for them.
Right.
They could have gotten Schumacher.
Haas. No shade. No shade.
No shade. He's a really good driver. Somebody should sign him.
Right. Haas. What did you say, Ben?
Hülkenberg and Antonelli.
And I also said Hülkenberg and Antonelli, and it is Esteban Ocon and Ollie Bearman.
Who could have predicted?
I didn't even know who Ollie Bearman was at the beginning of the season. So,
and imagining Ocon of all people going to Haas is insane.
That's some real like F1 my career stuff right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's Ocon and Bearman, another F2 rookie.
Yeah, plus Günther Senner out.
Yeah, Magnussen and Bottas and Zhou are all out. Ricciardo lost his seat. Perez lost his seat. Lots of people gone.
Yep.
But that is the way it goes.
Yeah, so pretty crazy driver lineup for next year. I am excited to see how much of it will stick for 2026, especially with a, maybe a little bit of a grid shakeup.
Yeah.
Maybe a couple extra seats.
Yeah, there will be a couple extra seats open. One of them, I'm sure, will be filled by an IndyCar driver. We'll see about the other one, though.
Yeah.
And then also, we have so many F2 rookies this season, I would not be surprised. Let me say it this way. I would be surprised if all of the rookies made it past this year.
Oh, there's no way.
There's no way.
Doohan is a goner for sure.
If they're already teasing that he's going to lose his seat and he's literally done one race in the year before he's getting his seat, I don't see him staying. Colapinto will probably take his seat. Generally in this sport where there's smoke, there's fire, and the fact that there's already smoke there, Duan's gonna have to like legitimately podium to keep his seat.
And then we'll see for Hajar. I know he's fast, but that's a tumultuous environment to be stepping into.
Hajar's gonna be really interesting. He's either gonna be gone by midseason or he'll be in Red Bull next in 26. I think it's one of the two.
Yeah. Sneeda to watch the sidelines.
Yeah. All right. Let's go into our actual big predictions for the Constructors' Championship. Give me the order of your top 10, and then I'll give mine, and then we'll go through which ones we got right.
Okay. So, first up, I had Red Bull for Constructors' Championship, followed by Ferrari and Mercedes in the top three. Then I had McLaren, Aston Martin, RB, Racing Bulls, Williams, Alpine, Sauber, and Haas bringing up the rear.
Okay. I had Red Bull as the champions, followed by Ferrari and McLaren in third. Then fourth and fifth were Mercedes and RB. Then 6 through 10, I had Aston Martin, Williams, Alpine, Sauber, and Haas. Also a Haas at the back. And the actual results were McLaren winning the championship, followed by Ferrari, Red Bull, Mercedes, Aston Martin, then Alpine, Haas, RB, Williams, and Sauber. So we were pretty wrong. Of course, not only about the champions. I don't think anybody saw this coming at the beginning of the year, that this would be one of the better Formula One seasons in recent times.
Yeah. Best one that we've seen, I think.
Best one, yeah, since 21. It for different reasons, but...
Yeah, 21 was an atypical. I think this is a much more standard, like, wow, all the teams are in it to win it this year.
For sure. Yeah. So, we both got Ferrari right in second place. I got Mercedes in fourth, and you got Aston Martin in fifth.
Which is so weird that those are the teams that we got right, but more power to us, I guess.
I guess so. All right, Drivers' Championship, same thing. Go through your top 20.
Okay, lightning round. Verstappen, Perez, Russell, Sainz, and Hamilton in top five. Then after that, we got Leclerc, Norris, Piastri, Alonso, and Ocon for top 10. Followed by Gasly, Stroll, Ricciardo, Albon, Hulkenberg, Tsunoda, Bottas, Zhou, Magnussen, and Sargeant in 20th.
Okay, I had Verstappen winning the championship, followed by Perez, Sainz, Leclerc, and Norris in the top five. Then 6 through 10 were Hamilton, Piastri, Russell, Alonso, and Ricciardo. 11 through 15, we had Tsunoda, Albon, Stroll, Gasly, and Ocon. 16 through 20 was Sargeant, Bottas, Zhou, Hulkenberg, and Magnussen. And I won't go through the Drivers' Championship again. You can rewind if you'd like to hear the order.
Ooh, spicy.
But we got Verstappen winning the championship, both of us. Both of us got Alonso in P9.
Again, super weird, but roll with it.
And I got Stroll in P13.
Wow, locked in on Aston Martin.
Yep, I nailed it.
You didn't pin Aston Martin getting fifth in championship.
I did not, no. Unfortunately. All right, total safety cars and virtual safety cars. What'd you say, Ben?
I actually nailed this one. I got 25 safety and virtual safety cars.
You did. You said 25. I said 29, and it was 25.
They were very stingy this year, I think.
Yeah, they were. It was odd how unwilling to stop the race they were, which normally would be fine, but honestly, this time it kind of got a little sketchy sometimes.
Yeah.
Qatar, it comes to mind. Anyway.
recency bias. Yes. And yes, also, Qatar was wild.
I think Qatar, even with recency bias, I think Qatar was the most egregious thing I might have ever seen.
Yeah. And then Canada was weird for other reasons.
Yeah, Canada was also...
Was I thinking Brazil?
Well, Brazil had like 17 of them, so...
Yeah. I don't know. They didn't know what they were doing. Good thing they fired everybody.
Not. Because they don't hire anybody. It's all volunteers that aren't trained properly. So, all right.
Yeah.
25 total, 17 safety cars, 8 virtual safety cars. Yeah. All right. Fastest laps, what'd you say, Ben?
Most Max fastest Verstappen.
Laps. You said Max Verstappen. Most fastest laps, I said Carlos Sainz, and it went to Lando Norris, who had 6 fastest laps this season. It
wasn't even close. Are we going to keep this metric for next year?
What's that?
Are we going to keep this metric for next year, considering they don't count for points anymore?
Oh, is that a thing next year?
I think it is.
I had not heard that, but I could have just forgotten it. I don't remember. If they don't count for points, I don't see any reason to keep them because there's no incentive to get them. So, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. total different race winners.
Oh, yeah. The fastest lap bonus point is to be dropped from the 2025 season.
Well, there you go.
That was October 17th.
Good stuff, Ben. Good stuff. I totally missed that. All right.
Sorry, Lando Norris.
total different race winners. What'd you say, Ben?
I only had 3.
I had 4, and I thought I was being optimistic. And it was 7. There were 7
the
different
same
race
number
winners.
As IndyCar, actually.
Yeah, which is shocking considering it's
something.
Not a spec series.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Fastest pit stop team. What'd you say, Ben?
I had Ferrari for this one.
I had McLaren, which I guess was technically correct because Red Bull and McLaren tied at 1.90 seconds with their fastest pit stops. Red Bull did it first, so I guess technically Red Bull wins. But they both had the same time, so
yeah,
I'm gonna give
myself sub 2, and you know what that means.
What's that?
We're sub 2 seconds, and you know what that means.
What does that mean, Ben?
It's time for the FIA to change the pit stop rules.
Oh, of course, yeah. All right, total DNFs. What'd you say, Ben?
I had 50.
I had 71, and it ended up being 57. I went a little ham on that one, but you were pretty close. So
yeah, actually, I did not expect to be that close. I expected to way undershoot, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, you were pretty close. There actually were not a lot. It seems like there was a lot of races this year where there weren't a lot of DNFs.
Yeah, I mean, the back half of the season was super clean until we got to the rainy races.
Yeah. Yeah, there were a couple races that had a ton that kind of added to that tally, but...
Man, Williams did their best.
They tried, they tried. Speaking of which, team with the most DNFs. both of us said Alpine.
Wow.
And it was Williams. Williams had 12 DNFs this season, which is double what the next team had. And Alex Albon on his own. I think there were several teams that had 6. Oh, okay. Red Bull had 6. Aston Martin had 6. Alpine had 6. RB had 6. And Haas had 6.
Okay. Wow. So, Williams doubled that.
Williams doubled that. Alex Albon had 7 on his own.
Good thing they got rid of Logan Sargeant.
Yes. when the other two drivers combined had less than Albon.
Yeah.
Which it doesn't feel like that, but I mean, if you really think about it, Albon did crash a lot this year.
Yeah.
So the cat is freaking out again, of course.
Mm.
Love it. All right. Next up, driver with most pole positions. What'd you say, Ben?
Max Verstappen.
I also said Verstappen. And Verstappen and Norris actually tied for the win on this one. They both had 8 pole positions this year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I didn't realize Norris had that many.
yeah, that snuck up on me.
Yeah, for sure. Most consistent driver, what'd you say, Ben?
I had Verstappen for this one.
I also had Verstappen. And shockingly, it actually, well, not shockingly, but...
Impressively.
It went to Carlos Sainz. Sorry, the cat is losing its mind.
So mad.
It went to Carlos Sainz, who, if you look at his finishes, it is kind of nuts. I'll just give you a little snippet of the year. Third, first, third, fifth, 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 third, sixth, five, three, five, six. Like, it was all right in there.
Wow.
He came in fifth place so much, fifth or sixth. And so he was the most consistent driver. And good stuff for him. Least consistent driver. What'd you say, Ben?
I had Perez for this one.
I also had Perez. I did not have Perez. I had Tsunoda.
Wow.
And it did go to Perez. So.
Yep.
Yep, his standard deviation was 4.73. Sainz, by the way, was 1.66, which is so insanely low. That's actually crazy.
Yeah.
Perez was 4.73, which isn't as high as I thought it would be. Actually, he was consistently bad, so I guess that's probably about right.
It's a lot easier when you don't make Q3 regularly.
Right, and he did have a really good start to the season.
Yeah.
So... All right, most consistent team, what'd you say, Ben?
I had Red Bull for this one.
I also had Red Bull, and it went to Ferrari. Their standard deviation between both drivers' finishes was 2.28, which is crazy. And least consistent team, what'd you say, Ben?
I had Ferrari for this one.
I had Aston Martin, and it went to Red Bull, whose standard deviation between the two was 4.3.
I don't know why I put... I feel like I should have swapped those, my consistent, least consistent, based on my answers for drivers.
Maybe. At least the least consistent one. You probably should have said Red Bull if you said Perez was least consistent.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that.
But,
who knows where my head was at that point.
That was... your head was looking at Ferrari and thinking they're going to have a fast car and they're going to blow it.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about that.
Yeah. So, makes sense.
I'm
but
glad
Ferrari...
you remember what I was thinking.
Ferrari actually had a insanely good season this year. Almost won the championship, but not quite.
Yeah.
In fact, it was the drivers who blew it for Ferrari. If we look at our handy-dandy little spreadsheet here and look at our driver performances, this is a really cool thing I just set up, and I'm pretty excited about it. So, I had the performance average for the cars, basically did some cool math gymnastics to essentially rank the cars in terms of how they performed by themselves, taking the drivers kind of out of it a little bit. So, by this metric, Ferrari actually had the fastest car this year, followed very closely by McLaren, and then Red Bull was third, and then Mercedes was fourth. If you look at all the numbers, it actually lines up pretty well, I'd say.
Yeah, that actually makes sense.
Yeah, Haas and Aston Martin pretty close to each other, which makes sense. Anyway, Sauber was by far the worst. Well, not by far. Williams was not too far behind them. so I'm pretty proud of myself. I like this.
Yeah, it's really cool.
So driver performance, I basically just referenced this based on the car's performance and then how the driver's placed. So Verstappen had a very good season compared to how the car performed. Of course, he won the championship in the third fastest car, so that makes sense. He had the second best season based on this metric. followed only by Franco Colapinto, who had the best season
in one of the worst cars.
In one of the worst cars. I think the reason he finished so high was because he had so few races, and a couple of them were very good. And also, this metric does not take DNFs into account. So if you take away all of Colapinto's DNFs and only look at his finishes, he did do very well in that Williams.
yeah.
So there's that. And then I think the Red Bull one might be a little skewed just by how poor Perez did. So if I were to look at it, knowing what I know about the season, I would say Gasly probably, by the numbers, had the best season. Just looking at how his car was. He was way above average in terms of that car's performance, and ended up finishing 10th in the championship in that horrible car. So, good stuff from Gasly. Then if we look at worst performance, Perez was worst, and it wasn't even close. Not even remotely close.
Yeah, he had the worst season. A full point behind Sargeant, even.
Yeah. So he had a score of -3.08, and Sargeant had a score of -2.18. To give some swing reference here, Verstappen had a 1.7. Positive numbers positive mean you were above 1.7. Average.
Yeah.
Negative is below average. So Perez was 3 points below average. Verstappen was almost 2 points above average. So quite the swing in performance between those two drivers. Other notable seasons. Piastri actually did not have a good season compared to where that McLaren was performance-wise, which I was kind of shocked to find out because it didn't seem like he did that bad.
That kind of makes sense, though. He kind of, during the start of the season, he was right there with Norris, and towards the end, he kind of started to fall away a little bit.
He did have a few bad races in the second half of the season, yeah. So that did affect his score quite a bit. Stroll, of course, was pretty far below average. Magnussen had a bad season.
Hulkenberg was just popping off too.
Hulkenberg, yeah, he did pretty well. Tsunoda had good numbers. Lawson had a score of -1.06. Ricardo had a score of 0.24. Just putting that out there. And Tsunoda had a score of 0.31. So even Tsunoda was just barely better than Ricardo by the numbers. Which of course the numbers don't lie, even though I completely made this metric up.
Hey. You gotta start somewhere.
I think the math actually maths, though, so I'm pretty proud of this.
I've been looking at it. I think it does, too. I like just one more point to call out, not to get too granular, but the Russell versus Hamilton comparison.
Yes.
Russell having almost a full index point ahead of Hamilton.
Yes, and it did kind of feel like that, even though they finished pretty close to each other. So Russell had a 0.34, Hamilton had a -0.61, and it did kind of feel like that. Russell had a pretty decent season. Hamilton seemed like he did not have a very good season, even though they
constantly
did finish
playing
close.
Catch up. Yeah.
Alonso had a 0.48, pretty good year for him.
Yeah.
Albon had a 0.82. Somehow, I think. I mean,
doesn't
he did finish 11th, like a lot. And of course, it doesn't count DNFs, so that would be why.
Yep. Plus, he had a sandbag for a teammate the first half of the year, so.
Right. and then, yeah, Colapinto went off. And then, because of some weirdness with how the numbers work, there can be two drivers in the positive. So, Zhou and Bottas both technically had good seasons compared to the average speed of the car.
Technically, both outdrove the car.
Yeah. Which I think is probably actually fairly accurate.
Yeah.
I really like this system. I'm going to save this and keep this for next year.
Yeah, use it for next year.
Yeah.
Do not lose this file.
Yeah, no, it's safely saved.
Belongs to Google now.
So, those are our big predictions. Let's go into our grab bag predictions real quick. All right, Ben, give me your first one.
Oh, boy. I completely forgot about these. My first one was Alonso complains about his car.
This one I had to think back about because I couldn't remember a time, except for there was one time when Alonso was saying that his car was so slow on the straight he couldn't do anything.
Definitely towards the back half of the season, I think I remember him. Yeah.
Yes. So I think it was Qatar. It was somewhere with a really long it was Las Vegas. They were so slow on the straight that he just couldn't fight at all. So just barely got that one, Ben. Otherwise, I don't think he complained that much.
Yeah.
Considering he was just stomping Stroll all season long.
Yeah, he's got to stay in the good graces of the Stroll family if he wants to get that Adrian Newey car.
Yeah, which will be very exciting to see where Aston places next season.
Yeah.
I think it'll be very telling. Anyway, all right, my first prediction was that Haas would sell to Andretti. This did not happen, but we did get Andretti by the end of the year, so...
Yeah, it happened. I'm really glad that they ended up not having to sell. All it took was them changing their name a little bit.
Yeah, they just can't call themselves Andretti. They just have to call themselves Cadillac.
Yeah, they dropped their namesake and then hired him back as a racing director for a different company.
Yep.
So...
Alrighty.
Whatever works.
Second prediction, what do you got, Ben?
I had Red Bull sacks Christian Horner.
Yeah, this one was looking about 50-50 when you made this prediction.
This was during the spicy times.
This was back when he had lots of scandal and allegations, and it all ended up being, I think, proven by several people that the accusations were false, and he ended up skating, and it still looks like his job might be in danger because a lot of people just didn't like him after that. But he's still there, so he did not get fired.
Let's fight another day. The Tsunoda of Red Bull team management, perhaps.
Exactly. my prediction number two was Norris wins a race, and he ended up winning four, so I slammed on to that one.
McLaren fans punching the air right now.
I thought, what did I predict McLaren to be? I thought McLaren would be the third fastest car, so... I guess this wasn't a super big reach, but at the same time, he hadn't won a race yet, so it was still kind of up in the air. But yeah, Norris did win a race, so I got that one. And then what's your third prediction, Ben?
I had Pelota F1 rumors starting up again. And aside from you and I bringing it up every so often in regards to Andretti, mostly me bringing it up, that ended up not really panning out.
Yeah, I think we were also kind of just memeing on it because we went so hard into it last season.
For sure.
But, Pelot was never talked about at all in the F1 paddock. He was last year, but it wasn't not at all this year, which is kind of surprising considering how much movement there was in the market. And he won a championship again. No one was talking about Pelot. So there is that. My third prediction, I went all very specific on this one, and it did not pan out for me. I said P2, P3, and P4 teams in the Constructors' Championship finished within 20 points of each other. First and second did, but...
I mean, they finished within 200 points of each other.
They did, yeah. Quite the spread there, but I think... The heart of my prediction was that the season was going to be a little closer, and I guess I got that right.
Yeah, you got that. You got the spirit of it.
I got the spirit of it, just not the actual words of it. So I guess I'll take it. I won't take it, I think, at the point, but I'll take that I got the spirit of it.
Yep.
All right. Now let's move on to our overtake of the year. This is across all sports, and so we have three candidates that were up on offer. The first one was from the Hy-Vee Homefront 250, an oval race in IndyCar. Justin Newgarden overtook seven cars in like one corner, going up around the outside. Ben and I kind of wrestled with this one. This was almost our overtake of the season. It was pretty insane.
I had to go back and watch my top two a couple times before I could really, really pin it down.
Yep. Our second... contender was Alex Albon. Can't talk anymore. Alex Albon's overtake in Canada, the one everybody remembers. This one was 100% the overtake of the year in Formula One. And he overtook Ricciardo and Ocon going into the chicane in Canada. It was wet weather. He was on the wet line. He was snaking between both of the cars. Absolute dive bomb, made it work. somehow got through it alive. So it was pretty nuts. And then our final contender was Ollie Bearman overtaking Kimi Antonelli in Monaco, going for the switchback at the Monaco hairpin.
Not really a passing zone.
No, not at all. Especially not with a switchback like that. They were side by side for a lot of that lap. And yeah, it was fantastic racing. This one did not win overtake of the year. I would say probably battle of the year, possibly. Even then, yeah. Maybe not. But definitely F2. I'd say F2 overtake of the year, I think.
Yeah.
So our winner, of course, with all that being said, you could probably deduce, was Alex Albon for his double overtake in Canada. If you have not seen it, go watch the highlights. You will know it when you see it. We can't show it on here because we don't want FOM taking this video down. Because they will.
Oh, so, yeah.
Yes, indeed. Very good overtake. Should have won overtake of the year in F1, the official one. But for...
Who did win the official one?
Colapinto did. I didn't even see. And I bet you can guess why. Because it went up to a fan vote, and that's all I'm going to say about that.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, Colapinto won that one. I don't even remember which overtake it was, but it was very generic.
Yeah, the Canadian Grand Prix one, it just... My initial impression was the Hy-Vee pass that Newgarden had, but after watching again, like, in the wet, on inters, at that corner... It was hard to pass up.
It was like the amount of risk he had to take, and then there was a point where he was so committed that he had to make it work, that he had no other option, and he did, and it was beautiful.
Yeah, it was great.
So, best thing Alex Albon did all season.
Wow.
Am I wrong, Ben?
No, probably not.
All right, let's move on to race of the year. We do have two winners. Each of us have chosen one, and I agree with both of these. So my race of the year was Brazil. There were like five or six safety cars, red flag or two, insanely wet weather. Verstappen came from like 19th or something like that, 17th.
17th, I think.
17th, yeah. On the grid and won the race by over 10 seconds, I think. Fantastic race, lots of drama, championship on the line. Norris blew it, of course. I wasn't happy about that, but very entertaining, very fun to watch, and will probably be remembered for a couple years.
Yeah, I agree.
What did you say, Ben?
For me, it was probably Silverstone. It was just a solid race, great changing conditions, which really forced the drivers to think and put together strategy on their own. And of course, it was Lewis Hamilton's first win in a while, and probably one of his, I would argue, one of his most important, just to show like he's still there. Was super symbolic, especially being in Silverstone, one of his last races with Mercedes. It was just, yeah, it was all together just a great race, great package, and a great, what's the fancy Greek word, great pathos for a race.
Good stuff, Ben. I agree. Silverstone was very close to winning for me as well. Definitely second place for me. Very, very entertaining race. Just good overall. If you're going to show somebody a race for the first time, like if you're showing someone what F1 is and you want to get them into it, I would recommend a race like that Silverstone race. Brazil was a little hectic. They're not going to get a grasp on what the sport is with Brazil. Silverstone was a fantastic race. It wasn't super chaotic, but it was, there were a lot of passes, which that's what makes it good. You don't always want the chaos. It's entertaining for the seasoned vets, and it is for the new people too, but then they might get the kind of the wrong idea of what the sport is.
Kind of like the rep that NASCAR has where you watch for the races, like, kind of miss a lot of stuff. You're just watching for the race, or for the crashes, rather. Yeah,
exactly. So Silverstone would be absolutely the race from this season that I would show somebody I'm trying to get into the sport. Again, great, great story with Lewis winning his first race in a couple years, showing he still got it, like you said. I think motivating him a little bit. I think he was a little down in the dumps after, because he was coming off a Russell win, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Right after that. So it was cool to see him win again. I was definitely happy for him. And now he's going off to Ferrari, and he's going to do his best Sebastian Vettel impression. And
hopefully not all the Sebastian Vettel impression.
We'll see how close of an impression it is.
He will also become extreme enemies with Leclerc while driving the same car.
Right.
Be embroiled in a scandal in which he drives a very fast car and is found to be outside of compliance.
Okay, Ben. It might go that far, but I hope not. Fred Vasseur is the team principal. I doubt he doesn't seem like the type that would blur the lines of the rules like that, at least.
Let's hope not.
So, yeah. Anyway, all right. That runs off race of the year. Ben, do you have any words of wisdom for the final time this season before we, of course, do what everybody's been waiting for?
Yeah, and they're directed at myself this time, so I have a cool bandage. It's a lot smaller than the bandage that I've been wearing the past week, but I went skiing on last Monday, actually. And just heading down the mountain to lunch, and picked up a little too much speed. I haven't been skiing for a super long time, so my capability to go fast exceeded my capability to read the mountain and see the people in front of me and slow down accordingly before I got to the people. So I ended up biffing it a little bit and sliced my thumb open pretty good. So I don't have a whole lot of feeling in the outside of my thumb, but I have the feeling where I can still be useful. So that's pretty cool. But I guess my wisdom is don't outperform when you're doing something like that at your limit. Don't outperform yourself in all the respects. You can have the technique for one thing, but if you don't have the full package, then something uncomfortable might happen.
Good stuff, Ben.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're okay.
Yeah, me too. No breaks or anything like that. Just broke a binding and a little bit of a cut.
There you go. Alrighty. Well, there's only one thing left to do this season. I know one viewer in particular has been very excited for this.
Has it really?
So, shout out to her. We're both doing it. We had a bet near the beginning of the season, after the China race, I think. We bet to see if Sauber would score any points this year, and I almost had to drink a shot of hot sauce. Luckily, Guanyu came in the clutch for me for in Qatar.
Those crazy bastards. Yeah.
So last second, scored 4 points, and so now I'm still gonna do this with Ben. I've got my hot sauce here. You can see in this cup. Ben gave me some. Yep. I'm just gonna take a sip because I won the bet. But I wanted to do this with Ben because I'm
gonna do a
building myself up for this all year.
Straight into the mouth, so.
Yeah, Ben's going to go straight from the bottle, hopefully not get any in his eyes or nose.
Barrel-proof.
So let's do this together, Ben. I'll have this up on. We can see both of us in the video.
Cheers.
Yeah. Cheers. Doesn't start off that hot. But it builds.
No. Yeah, it builds.
It does taste very good.
Yep.
And it's coming.
Yep, we're doing great.
We're doing awesome, bud.
So, outro?
Outro, yes. Before it gets worse. We'll let them watch us suffer a little bit. Thank you, everybody, so much for watching and listening this season. Third season down. We're going to keep going. Sorry, my mouth sounds disgusting right now. We're going to keep going. We love doing this. We'll be back again next year. Probably have another crazy bet. But yeah, I really appreciate everybody watching. First year with video has been really engaging for me.
It's been going great. Yep.
For Ben. Really fun doing it this way, learning how to edit for that. Definitely a good skill to have. I hope to get more videos out, standalone videos, not podcasts, maybe next season, maybe over this off season. I don't know. But we do have big plans for changes for next year. So keep watching. We'll be back in late February when everybody's back, for our preseason podcast, as always. And then of course starts up back in March. I can't talk anymore.
Yeah, it's really difficult.
Australia in March, looking forward to it. But yeah, until then, thank you everybody. Hit us up on socials at Rev Hang Media. I'm Ben. You're not. I'm Nathan. He's Ben. You've heard the outro. You know where to find us.
Yeah.
Message us if you want. Until then, I've been Nathan.
And I've been.
Thanks for hanging out.
Yeah. See you guys.